You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. In today's episode, the podcast will take a break from our normal interview format, instead presenting a palate cleanser, where UCB teachers and staff present official UCB news and updates, focus on a specific element of long-form improv, and offer experimental, one-off episodes. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking, and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
What's up, what the fuckers, what the fuckies, what the fuckettes? Welcome to the UCB Longform Conversation Podcast from Los Angeles. I'm your host, Jacob Wysocki. I was a guest on the last episode, but today I'm the host. And my guest today is Sarah Claspel.
Hey, friends.
She's a real sweetie.
Ah, jeez.
You might know her from Cardinal Redbird, Voltron.
Yeah.
Characters Welcome.
Yeah.
And all over UCB All-Star, I would say.
Thank you.
A real sweetie. Somebody that was very nice to me when I started in Harold here.
You deserve to be nice to.
Thank you so much. You're very welcoming and very easy to talk to. And
Thank you.
Very good when you're starting off here at UCB. It's nice to have entry level people that aren't like, who's this new guy?
Yeah, you know I think that's something I always, because I was an intern at UCB almost immediately. And it's something I really remember, like the people who would like come to the box office and be nice or just like didn't make me feel like I didn't belong.
Yeah.
I think is always was always really important to me. And I hope to pass that on for sure.
Oh, you most definitely have.
Thanks, dude.
I think it's a good example. Let's get started. Let's kick this off.
Okay.
Let's get a brief. What's your history with improv?
Oh, geez. I started in kind of in high school a little bit, only because I was teaching at a theater camp during the summer. I was a counselor, and we would do theater, and we would also have like improv stuff because the people who ran it had seen Comedy Sports.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I got really into that, and then when
you were teaching short form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, I'm all about short form.
Oh, great. We can totally talk about it.
Have you done short form?
Yeah, I'm a comedy sports guy. I did it in high school. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I never did comedy sports, but my college, when I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
And they had a short form team that was basically based off of comedy sports. We had the bowling shirts and the referee shirt. And yeah, it was great.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I'll let you continue your trajectory and then I'll pick it apart.
Oh, okay. Can't wait.
This is going to be raw, guys.
Let's get real and mean.
Yeah.
Things that we're good at getting real mean.
We're two mean people and we're going to shred each other apart for the next
45.
Yeah. You
know what, Jacob? I like you. You're great.
Oh,
I can't.
Man. You couldn't even handle
God,
it.
God, I couldn't even. It stresses me out.
She got so red in the cheeks. Ugh. And I was shaking here.
I'm about to cry. So I got to college and tried out for the improv team. Didn't get on.
Oh, man.
And was like, you're right. It's not for me. I'm not a funny person. Which is not true. I'm great.
Very funny.
Watch now. Very stressful.
That's always a good feeling, though, to kind of have your like look at me now moment, I'm sure. You know?
Yeah, truly.
We all deserve a little victory.
Because I didn't get on the team my freshman year, so I was like, it's not for me. I'm just a theater actress.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, I like went to all the improv shows. You know Scott Nyman on Outside Dog?
Yes.
He and I were freshmen together at Cal Poly. And the first party, there's the improv show every Saturday night, and then we would someone would have a party every Saturday night after the shows. Very fucking chill.
Got a rage.
Oh, you got a rage, baby. But I went to that party because I knew some of the people beforehand. Knew Amanda Sitko, if you know her, and some others. And
pretty thick poly pool.
Oh yeah,
coming to UCB.
Real thick poly pool. Dickie Copeland.
Oh wow,
was
the
my
list
roommate.
Continues.
Ricky Khalil for you IO folks. He was on a team a while ago.
So a decent improv scene over there.
Totally.
Seems. Yeah.
Yeah. Big improv scene. I think when people talk about should you go if you want to do theater or if you want to like act or be in the business, should you go to college? And there's a lot of like, I don't know, maybe I should. I feel like I am so glad I did for many reasons. I loved college and yeah. I loved learning and stuff. But the people I met there really and the improv team really shaped who I am and the trajectory of like the path that I took.
Totally.
I could be in Chicago as a famous actress right now, but instead
you chose to be funny.
Yeah. To figure that out.
A much more noble cause.
Oh my God. I'm doing great.
So you got on the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got on the team a year later, after some encouragement from the team manager, who was like, you don't, you're funny. Like you should be in this. And I have always felt like I'm not like the funniest person, but I think I'm, a very good improviser in that I am super supportive and I find the patterns. So I'm not going to be like once in a while I am, but I'm not usually like the big standout, like, oh, that's the funniest person. But I think I am the person on the team who can like tie things together and make things work, make sure things are justified so that.
Well, I feel like you also do a really good job of like injecting energy and like silliness as well.
For sure.
Which is just like better. I mean, good for everything in improv.
Oh yeah.
Just a little energy push is huge. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's when I'm coaching, that's my big thing of like, let's get weird. Let's get silly. Like I'm coaching a mess hall team right now. And they're great and they're fun, but it is interesting to come into a team that doesn't know each other, that is like, we're on a team and we're excited, but it's weird to be, you know, with new people, and to kind of encourage them to like, you guys, let's get as weird as possible.
How do you push people in that direction? Because I would say Cardinal Redbird, like I would describe you guys as a very silly Herald team.
For sure.
Well, post Herald team now. Pardon me. Grad team.
How dare you?
This is a twofold question. Like, how do you push that in your coaching? And how do you feel like Cardinal Redbird as a group found that silliness and were able to like push that forward as a sort of like a main theme of your play style?
I think the way I coach it is like trying to get weird with, I think, our bodies first, you know, encouraging like weird sound, like that pass the face and movement.
Yeah.
I do a version of that with Big Booty. Mm-hmm. So instead of just passing the focus, you're passing it in a weird way.
Love that you said Big Booty. That is a classic short form warm up game. Ooh. That is dead in the backstage area.
Of UCB. I love
it's a great warm up game.
Add a character morph to it.
Yeah.
So that you're starting out with like Big Booty number one and you pass that on.
Yes, that's so fun.
Ooh, it's so fun.
Ooh, stealing
and it gets so fun. Everyone steal it.
Yeah.
Write it down.
I would love to get that back into some sort of rotation because I do think it's good because you focus up and you create energy.
Yeah. Because I think Big Booty as itself is fun. But for improv purposes, I found out because an old improv group of mine in New York, just an indie team, would do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And we once did it for an hour.
Yeah, that's what happens when you do improv.
Yeah.
You just end up playing a warm-up game for hours.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes Cardinal Redbird, we were always down to like do weird, stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. I think from the beginning, because I'd been on a few teams in New York and, of course, indie teams here and there. But what was different about getting on Cardinal Redbird was, like, from the beginning, everyone was kind of down to try whatever.
Yeah, there was no, like, this may be the wrong word, but purists. Herald purists.
Totally.
Yeah.
And there were people who had opinions.
For sure.
Like, we got Beth on our team. We did the sound and movement, we did an organic opening.
I'm so sorry.
For, like, a year. And I love it. And I think that helped us get really weird with each other because that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
It also gets you into so many scary hallways, which is a Billy Merritt term of like you find the rooms and hallways of an opening.
Yeah.
And so many of ours had what we call scary hallways where it's like we're not finding any pattern and we're just in a weird, crazy area where no one's feeling comfortable. To bring back to Beth, I know she didn't like that opening but was totally into like, you know what? If the group wants to try it and if it's working for us, cool. Every few months, I'll bring up, maybe we should change our opening.
Yeah.
But
no, that's very important. Mm-hmm. It's very important to just to sort of take an L every once in a while on a Herald team.
Totally.
Especially when it comes to opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's so arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It just, as long as it's like good for like pulling ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if
that's
you can
all
do
you
that.
Need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you feel like you were scared to be a silly team, or was that like a self-awareness? Because there's a lot of rules on Herald Night.
There's a lot of pressure
mm-hmm. and a lot of expectation from the top dogs.
Yeah.
So did you feel like that was something you guys rolled into, or like, was there a group discussion of like, this is our vibe and we should chase it?
It wasn't necessarily a group discussion, but I knew, because I like a lot of control. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of my life, is like knowing that I like control and trying to let go and be like, it's okay, it's fine. But I think being on a Herald team, my favorite thing is like, for so long, I was just a good, great straight man. I can be a silly person, but I was like, I'm such a great straight man. That's my job. And with Cardinal Redbird, it was good finding like, oh, I can be silly and weird and goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a team that is like open to it. And I feel like for myself, it was like trying to surprise myself with things. Because, yeah, I'm not I haven't always been great at surprising myself or throwing, you know, throwing something in there that is not
like a wild specific or
totally.
an emotional shift or something.
Totally.
Like that.
I once did a scene where I was on a bus and everyone was trying to tell me how to raise my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up and said, okay, fine. You can all have my baby for 1 year and show me how it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a fun thing that a year before I would not have made that choice. I would be like, no, stick with it. Be that voice of reason. Keep doing it. And it was a way of like, I don't know where this is going. And it's recognizing I can lose control and not know where it's going to go next.
Well, and you have 7 really great people that are taking care of you, which
oh man, they're great.
What a great opportunity to be free.
Yeah.
You know, and not, I think maybe in earlier years, like, well, was Cardinal Redbird your first and only Herald team?
No, it was my third.
Okay.
I was
so maybe we should backtrack a little bit after college.
Great.
So you had your college stint.
I had my college stint, did a lot of short form, moved to New York and started taking UCB classes.
Okay.
Yeah, I became an intern on Saturday nights and was an intern for almost 2 years and just went to
every show.
Every show.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first DCM, I was in 101, my first DCM, and none of my classmates were going to DCM, but I was like, I'm going to go. And I saw 25 shows.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was like, I am in.
You're a bit of a nerd when it comes to improv.
For sure.
Yes. I think that's the only way to be. Don't be coy about being into this art form,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I teach classes and I love being like, no one, don't be cool. Because no one here is cool. If you were cool, you'd be in a guitar class. You'd be riding a motorcycle in a motorcycle class.
Absolutely.
We're
so
all
correct.
Such weirdos, and I only mean that in the very best way.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, embrace it. Get weird, and it's totally cool to like love this thing that is other people think is stupid or lame or weird. Yeah.
That's great. So your first Herald team was in New York?
Yes. It was called Monstro.
Okay, I've heard of this name.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
We love to talk about it. it's so stupid that so many people on both coasts know the name Monstro because we talk about it all the time, and it was not a good team.
Yeah, I believe I was introduced to a few members of your team at a DCM,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, this is Monstro, one of the worst Herald teams ever, and like was like, this is one of the most unfunny people on the planet. And I was like, yeah, I've heard the lore.
That's true.
I'm going to rapid fire question.
Okay, great.
New York versus LA.
Ooh, yikes.
I told you we're getting raw, dude.
We're getting fucking raw. LA?
Hell yes, we did it.
Yeah. I got to say that because I live here, but I love New York. I'm so glad I started in New York
because mm-hmm.
New York and LA are different for a bunch of reasons. One of which is like in New York, you get drunk with your teammates much more.
Yeah.
And in LA, that just doesn't happen because people got to drive home. You got to be home. Responsible.
We can't stay up till 5.
No. But yeah, I had, some nights where I would stay up at McManus drinking until like 7 and then be like, this wasn't off it, but, and then I be like, I have to go to work now.
Yeah. It's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to pick up the bootstraps.
That's dumb. That's not a good life. But in your 20s, you got to live that life.
Yeah. And especially when you're on a new team, you gotta sort of bond and see if this is going to click.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of brings me back to the question getting into the New York stuff. Like, was it the team Cardinal Redbird that you think allowed the ultimate freedom for your silliness? Did you feel like your prior Herald teams, you were sort of stuck in a completely different lane?
Yes. For sure. And I think some of that, it's interesting to be so, like Cardinal Redbird, I think, came together so nicely. And I truly feel so lucky. I don't think it's a thing that often happens where like 8 people who don't or barely know each other get put together and it really works.
Yeah.
Because I've been on previous Herald teams where.
Bunk City, dude.
Hunk City.
Bunk.
Bunk City?
Yeah, where it's just like.
I'm going to say
like,
Hunk City because everyone was attractive.
Very hot.
But we were bad at improv. Well, Monstro was a team where we got put together and I think the community, and I don't want to be a jerk, but the community was like, all of these people have been auditioning for years and they finally made it. This is going to be such a good team. And I think we felt that and we thought that because I got put on the team and I was like, oh my God, these are 7 heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Like everyone here, you've been like, Paul Welsh, he should have gotten on like 2 years ago. Beth Appel, she's the best. Oh my God, like all these people. And I think we felt that pressure, but we also all came in as people who'd been the best people on our indie teams.
Yeah.
And we weren't compromising and being like, how do we play well together? We had lots of scenes where it was like we would end the scene and it was like one person was totally going for one thing and another person thought we were in a different place and time and totally like, I thought we were underwater. Well, I thought we were in my bathtub.
Oh, no.
Which is similar.
That's very
different.
But still tough.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like in theory a team can get over something like that? Like imagine that team stayed together for 4 years. Do you feel like that group of people would have smoothed out into like a more ensemble?
I think we could have.
Yeah.
I think under the right direction. I think when we were broken up by Anthony King, who if you're listening to this, you're not, but you're great. You made the right decision. But when we were broken up, we were we had just gotten a new coach, Kevin Hines, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of coming together and I think we just hadn't really realized our problems.
Yeah.
We were also in our heads trying to be the best and not trying to like, it's that weird thing of like, as a team, you're like, you guys, we're coming together. We're all in this. We're working on it. But in your brain, everyone is trying to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And you don't.
Everybody wants to get their like comedy nut, if you will.
Yeah. You got to get that nut.
Do you think like indie teams can self-diagnose that kind of stuff? Or do you think it sort of relies on a good coach?
Gosh, I don't. I think it's hard to self-identify. I don't think it's impossible, but I think it does become a bit of a weird thing when one person is like, hey guys, I've noticed this thing that we're all doing wrong, but they really mean you're all doing wrong.
Yeah.
Because
it's hard to remove yourself from that judgment.
Totally.
Know? Yeah.
Totally. Because I remember being on indie teams being like, or Herald teams or whatever, and being like, God, why isn't this person getting this note? When it really was like, maybe that person wasn't getting the note, but also maybe I wasn't adapting to work with that person.
Yeah.
I was like, why won't you play the way I want to play? And it's interesting the way, just kind of like the way you play different on different teams.
Totally. Yeah.
And that's something that really has like, been shown up for me, like being on Cardinal Redbird, but also being on Voltron.
Yeah.
I played different and I haven't been on 2 really great teams at the same time in a while.
How would you describe your play style on Voltron versus your play style on Cardinal Redbird?
I think on Cardinal Redbird, I play a bit more of the like keeping stuff together, though I do, you know, go back and forth between being silly and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I do a lot of support and stuff. And I think on Voltron, I am a bit more bold in, yeah, like making weirder, crazy choices.
Yeah. Do you feel like having that, those bold opportunities on Voltron have, like carried over like transitive property into Cardinal Redbird? Have you noticed that there's a bit different, a bit difference in the play style?
I think there's a bit difference in the play style.
Oh, no. I was doing so good too, because I'm a bit of like a buttermouth from time to time.
That's fine.
And we went a decent amount of time. We
really did a good job. Listen, I think I've been a buttermouth a little bit, and you didn't call me out one time.
Well, I'm a real sweet guy. I'm only going to call my own shit out.
And I am a jerk, and I won't let it pass. That's the thing Cardinal Redbird does, is like, we don't let shit go.
You can't. It's like impossible to be a normal person in a group of comedians.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, any mistake is going to absolutely get ripped up. Mm-hmm. And also, like, we retain data differently. So it's like, yeah, I know what kind of guy you are, or like what kind of lady you are. Uh-huh. And I'm just going to use everything I know about you to just be like,
we had a scene the other day, and it's one of those, it's interesting being a team after Harold Knight, because they're, I love Harold so much, and I love Game, and it, I love the math of it and the way that like it,
well, that makes together. One of us.
Ooh, I love it. But it also is, I love the silly stupidness of like sometimes doing a scene that doesn't have Game, that's just funny because it's funny. We did a scene the other day that was, Jamie tried to initiate something that was nice and clear from the interview.
Yeah.
And she misspoke. She said charcar instead of charcoal.
Oh, no.
And then we spent 4 minutes after that just saying charcar at her. Until one point, Drew was like, I know you were trying to say something. And she was like, it doesn't matter. It was great.
That was like in the interview still? Or
No, it was in the improv after
great,
the interview.
Great. Yeah. That's very fun, man. Mm-hmm. Charcar.
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 Ooh, charcar.
I like that. I think it's good for people to hear, like, playing with different teams can give you different opportunities. Because mm-hmm. I think especially coming up, you're just like, well, I found three people that I absolutely don't hate, and this is it. And then and I'm hanging everything on these people.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think it's a good reminder to get out there and try different things
really
with different
is,
people, different skill
sure.
sets.
Because mm-hmm. You find parts of yourself that you did not know existed.
Yeah.
Parts of your improv self. Or maybe your true self. Who knows?
Well, I mean, improv is life, and life is improv, and
Life is a Harold.
I know? Sometimes like to watch Harold and be like, what's the subtext? Like, what are the improvisers saying to the other improvisers on the team?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always juicy. I could just be wrong. I'm just like creating my own little soap opera in my head or whatever.
Well, it is interesting. You can, watching teams, you can tell when the team doesn't like each other.
It's very interesting how obvious that is.
But you can also, the opposite, you can tell when a team is really enjoying each other. And it's one of those things that you want to work to not show, but sometimes it's hard. It's hard to not show that you don't understand his teammate's choice, or you don't understand what they're going for, or that
what do you even mean, my man? And you're like, oh, this is like you saying that as a person. Right now.
I love watching Paul Welsh watch his team, like from the back line.
Yes,
watch his teammates have a scene, because he's
like, he's a guy you can see clock and how fast that brain's going.
Totally.
And he's just like, pop, 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 waiting.
But he'll just like, he'll be watching a scene and will have a like fully shocked look on his face when someone says, and it's so, I mean, that's not what you should be looking for, but like, it's so delightful just to watch like someone really enjoying the discoveries that their teammates are making. Yeah.
That's great. Let's get back into short form for a brief moment.
Ooh,
here.
Ooh, baby.
I did it for a very long time, as I said before. What do you think you've pulled from that world and that sort of like instruction learning base that has really benefited you in long form that you think maybe people that are only doing long form don't get to experience?
I think it is, it's a lot easier for like Game, just like identify, because you work so along with short form doing the training wheels of like, this is what the game is. This is what the game is.
But like literally a game.
Truly
like. A forward
like,
reverse or a new choice.
Whenever I touch my nose, you're going to bark like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that structure built in that it, we know what it feels like to be in something that is structured, and we know what's like unusual, and we know why we're doing it.
And with a good referee, you have somebody calling the timing of when each of these things should pop.
Totally.
Know?
Yeah. And I think also just like the small thing of like being in front of an audience and knowing what works and helping to form. Not that I was like had my comedy voice formed in college for sure. We thought we were so good. I look back and I'm like,
I remember, I think I talked about this on the last podcast. I'm so sorry. But I remember being in high school and saying that I like had plateaued. Like you just, it's so warped.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And you hit that next tier and you're like, oh God, I'm dog shit. And then you like hit the next tier and you're like, oh,
totally.
I'm still dog shit.
Yeah. And I think so.
But it's good to have a victory. Like I said before.
For sure.
It's good to be like, we are so fucking good. It's so funny.
Oh my God. Everyone loves it. And then I go back and teach workshops like once in a blue moon at my college.
Oh, that's great.
And I'll see there. It is so like, man, you're in college and you think, oh, I'm an adult. I've got it together. I'm so hilarious. And just teaching a workshop, I'm like, oh, I will wait until you guys quiet down. Like you are tiny little children.
Do you ever teach at that camp that you learned at?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. Don't want to give back to the kids.
Why would I?
Yeah.
I'm keeping it for myself. I don't know if it exists.
It might have just completely done.
They might have been like, Sarah's gone. Let's pack it up, you guys. No more theater.
Well, you know, that's the influence that you have.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? So you kind of talked about like how, you know, New York has this like, more hangout mentality, perhaps, that's benefiting that side. And maybe that's something LA could adopt.
Yeah.
What do you think LA has that New York lacks that they could maybe try and adopt?
I think I did say LA over New York, but New York has so many great qualities.
Yeah, and this isn't
sure.
really like trying to dog them.
Of course.
Yeah,
yeah, I think LA just has a more natural lifestyle, not natural, a more easy lifestyle.
Yes.
To where, like, when I lived in New York, I would see someone pee or worse on the street every week.
Yeah.
And that was not an abnormal thing.
And that's like a thing that you get used to, but you have to carry around.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's
with you your whole day.
It's with you your whole day. I mean, yeah, I've seen just terrible things walking around the streets. And I think you're just not around strangers as much in LA because we're all in our cars and we're like going from place to place. But I also think in LA, I'm home more. Like in New York, I would leave the house at 8 a.m, go to my day job, go to a show, or like wait until I go to a show, or maybe do a tech. I'm home at midnight and then I do the whole thing again tomorrow. And now there are people in New York who I consider some of my closest friends whose homes I've never seen.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. There are a couple people who I'm like close with and I don't think I've ever been inside of their house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a hard thing to tell New York to adopt is to move.
Come on, just get some sun.
Yeah. Well, maybe the lesser version of that is take a little time to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can chill.
Agree.
If you can chill, you can be funny. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing that wrong, if I'm interpreting that wrong, please don't let anybody know.
No. I think that's exactly it. Like, I feel like in New York, there's so much of like reacting to the world, good or bad. I also saw a lot of really wonderful, great things that you like some human kindness that you just don't see in LA because you're not around like so many people.
There's not a way to like swoop in and be the hero of a moment or something.
Totally. Yeah. To see something scary be dissipated or to see something wonderful or sweet that you normally would not interact with is a really nice benefit of living in New York. But yeah, I think there is something of New York is so fast paced and you're surrounded by people at all times. It's nice to in LA, like have some time to yourself and not be just go, 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 go. Because once you stop a little bit, I found that I had time to think a little bit. I had time to think and emote and feel things and react to the things in my life and not just the things being thrown at me.
Totally.
Which sounds crazy. You can't.
It does, but it also makes so much sense because you're just, if you're cluttered, you're not even taking a moment. And moments that I think are great in LA is like the drive home from a bad show or like, cause you actually have the time to think about it.
So
and
what
like develop taste
when you have a bad show and you're on that drive home, what's going through your mind?
Oh man, everything. Like it can be as simple as like, I should have done this. I should have done that. If I would have just been listening a little more, like did I not eat at the right time? Like anything, or why am I doing this at all? Why
there's
do
something
I care
that's
this
so
much?
Funny about like, yeah, did I eat? Should I eat this? Should I not eat? What should I eat? Like the preparation getting into a show, it's gotten less stressful for me and I like think about that stuff less, but it hasn't gone away. Mm-hmm. When I'm like, I have a show tonight. If I have an indie show, I'm like not too stressed about it. If I have like a Cardinal Redbird show or a Voltron show, I think, okay, what am I going to wear? Yeah, what is my day? I should probably make sure I eat some vegetables so I'm feeling human.
You shouldn't get the like Franklin & Co. duck fat fries.
No.
30 minutes before you go on stage.
Oh, no.
Those are
Do
things...
I want them? Yes, of course.
Of course.
Am I going to get them? Probably, but I'm going to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make me feel good.
How do you pick up the bootstraps after a tough show? Is it self-care? Is it...
Much like a sine wave that goes up and down. I think that is how everyone's improv is. Like once you're good, you're never like, always going to be that good. I mean,
there's a flux.
Yeah. Yes, there's an ebb and a flow, and as it goes on, the sine wave goes up, but you still have ups and downs. And my down now, my worst is usually better than my regular.
Yeah,
like 5 years ago.
Pardon me. Do you feel like that fluctuation is it like life where the higher highs lead to lower lows? Or do you feel like you've been able to like stabilize it a lot more?
I think I've stabilized it a lot more. I think I stress about it less, though the lows still feel like real bummers, but not as much when like 5 years ago, like I would have a really bad show and then be like, oh my God, no one likes me. I'm so bad at this. Like, what am I doing? And now I have a bad, like, I feel like I'm coming out of having like a bit of a spell of like not great shows.
Yeah.
I just had a great one on Tuesday. So now I'm feeling on my
She's
way
back.
Back up, baby.
She's back.
But I think a lot of it is it's a little bit of self-care. It's a little bit of like get out and be a human.
Yeah.
Do something else that makes me feel good. But also recognizing I'm going to do thousands more shows.
Yes.
I'm going to do so many more shows. I coached a group, a 401 class the other day, and they had a not great show and they were feeling bummed about it. And it truly was like, I know you're just in 401, but you guys, we're going to have so many more shows.
I like that people get bummed though.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good that we're in a community of people who care about what they're doing for the most part.
For sure.
And I think it's good that people feel that way and that people have bad shows.
Because
I think you learn way more from a bad show than you do a good show.
Truly. And that is, I love when students or people will talk about like, yeah, I went and saw this team and they weren't really good. And I know they are good. Like if someone sees a Smokes show and they're like, yeah, it was okay. I know the Smokes are the best.
Yeah.
They're so good. And to me, I love seeing a team that I know is so great, not doing a great, I mean, it doesn't feel great for them, I'm sure. And I don't like being a team that is not great, but it is, I think that's part of the magic of improv is like we're watching live theater and even live theater that is directed and rehearsed and it's supposed to be the same every night.
Yeah.
Audiences are going to react a different way. We're humans. Maybe I say something with a slightly different inflection or, you know, we're trying to like feel it and connect with an audience.
Well, that's the whole Schadenfreude behind theater and improv.
Totally.
Like that it can be a full wipeout.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And it is good to be reminded of
that even people
failure.
Who are great can have failures and that's okay. So that makes me feel fine about doing, you know, not great. once in a while. As long as it's not a, if it's a consistent thing, let's figure it out.
We need to have a chat.
For sure. Sarah, maybe you should just give it up.
Yeah. Please don't. Please don't ever give it up.
I would never. What would I do?
What is, you coach a lot and you teach a lot as well. Would you say, what would you say is like a pet peeve of yours that you've noticed it maybe in the scene as of late, or a reoccurring like problem amongst younger improvisers?
Something I've had a real bee in my bonnet about is initiations.
Okay.
People not initiating clearly. So like we do an opening, I have a great idea. And I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to get to my premise in five lines. By the second or third line, like, you're not improvising with a brick wall. You're improvising with someone who is smart and interesting and really funny.
Yes.
And, like, I know myself, if my scene partner doesn't say what their premise is for, like, four or five lines, I'm going to say something funny and weird and, like, create something unusual. Not that I hate slow play. I don't hate slow play.
Slow play exists. When I first started doing Harold, I was all about, like, you don't need to drop it in three lines. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, very adamant about that. And that was, like, an artistic choice that I, like, disagreed with the current AD and stuff about. But I also, like, talked to that about my team. So they knew, like, Jacob is going to set up the who, what, where, and then drop his premise. Like, so if there's an awareness, I think there's a place or, like, that's the team speed or tone, then it's totally fine.
And but if the second person, the person receiving the initiation, is aware of that and is like, I'm going to give you what you need until you can drop your premise.
Yeah.
Great. But I think too much on the indie scene, I'm seeing a lot of like, okay, I'm just going to tease it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it's the fault of both of the people. I think...
What do you think the root of that issue is? Is that like an unconfident improviser, not sure if the premise is going to land? Or is it like sort of that improviser that's like, this is going to fucking rock? And then they like really sort of zhuzh it out.
I think it's a less confidence thing. I think it is a either not feeling confident with like, this is going to be great. So I guess... we're doctors, we'll figure it out. Even though your idea is like, we're doctors who hate medicine.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Hot scene.
Ooh, great scene. We hate medicine. What do we like? Candy. That's a scene I want to do.
Yes.
I think it's a not feeling confident about it. Or the like, well, I want to get out our who and our what and our where. And then we'll find. I think it is like, yeah, I think it's mainly a confidence thing.
Yeah.
And I think people should know that we can get our who, what, where out later. And also know that it's okay to meet it out. M-E-T-E. Is that the right way to use that word? Meet it out? Dole it out a little at a time?
I wouldn't ever say that, so I don't know. I don't know.
I've only ever thought it in my mind, and I've never said it out loud.
Meet it out. Yeah, it sounds good to me. A+.
Great.
Yeah.
Dole it out. I'll say that.
Yes.
But I think it's gosh, now I lost my train of thought. But I think there is you can dole it out a little at a time as long as we're getting to it. Because also you don't want to be that jerk who's like, don't say anything, scene partner. I've got this, but you can't contribute anything until I'm done.
Yeah.
And then your scene partner's just like,
so bored.
Okay.
It's so boring.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. What, like, yeah. So I think that's my big beef with the indie scene right now.
What do you think is a good first steps for an improviser looking to become more confident?
I mean, a lot of my... philosophy is it feels very like organic and like being an actor and things like that, and a lot of it is have that confidence in yourself that you are giving to the teammates that you respect.
I really like that,
because there's a quote in
she's holding her hands out like a monster transforming, like a man transforming.
Truth in Comedy.
There we are.
There we go. That I always loved. That was like it was something like treat your teammates like they're scholars, they're geniuses, they're artists, but you should also treat yourself that way.
Yeah.
Treat yourself with I have this I think this is funny, so I'm going to fully get it out and give it to the audience because I trust and respect myself.
Yes. I hope people dig that as much as I do.
Thanks.
No, truly, mm-hmm. like, it, just allow yourself. It is really like self-allowance.
Yes.
Where it's the only person stopping is you. And it's like, I think a lot of people take, I just get more reps or something. But like, really, it does start from just you being like, I'm going to allow myself to be good mm-hmm. and get those reps in and get
totally.
Better.
Yeah, you know? I think there's so much. I grew up and went to college for theater, and I've done a lot of theater as an actor and a director and stuff like that. And I think there is so much that we sometimes forget about or don't give enough service to with just like connection with the audience and connection with ourselves and having the confident, like that truly that dumb stuff of like, you are enough
mm-hmm.
and you are funny. You're Jacob, you're funny in a totally different way than I am.
Yes.
And I'll never be funny like you, and you'll never be funny like me. And we got to respect that and know that, and know that it's okay to be like, you're right. Jacob will never be funny like me. And that's a strength of mine. And you have your own strength.
And we get to enjoy each other. And it's not an at odds thing. That's what I really appreciate.
Totally.
Because like in different comedic worlds, that's not how it is.
No, yeah.
People don't watch somebody kill and then go like, fuck, like I'll never be able to do that. But I love that he can do that. I mm-hmm. don't think in any other medium.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what is so special about improv is that we're built on support. So that's why I think it's such a great community is because we're built to support on stage, so that's how we are in real life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all my friends are improvisers for
yeah,
the most
and we're
part.
They're all very supportive, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're doing a one-woman show, and then nobody's ever going to show up.
No one's going to show up.
That's too much support.
No,
you're talking for too much support.
Just kidding. I'll go to your one-woman show, for sure.
Cool. Well, this has been absolutely lovely.
This has been a delight.
There's some great info in here for these kids.
Ooh.
I'm all about touching the kids. Whoops.
No.
Oh my God. That was like so accidental. What plug your stuff.
Ooh. Okay. Have you heard of Cardinal Redbird one time? Or a thousand times? Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock at UCB Franklin. Voltron performs at Asian AF once a month at UCB Sunset. I've also got a podcast coming out called Everything is Rent.
Yes. I hear a lot of buzz online about
this. Ooh. It's buzzing, baby. It's just a podcast with me and Beth Appel talking to people about how great the musical Rent is. It's the best.
That's going to be really fun.
Yep.
Where can people find you on the socials?
Ooh, at Claspy, C-L-A-S-P-Y, Claspy.
Across all platforms.
All platforms.
Where can people donate to your Patreon?
Just find me in person and stuff dollars in my pockets.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Jacob. This has been wonderful.
And that was a long-form conversation. Tune into the next episode when Sarah Claspill will be your host. Thank you so much for your time. I've been Jacob Wysocki. Boomer lives!
You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.